listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 9th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight, our topic is going to be a little free-ranging, but we're going to be talking some interesting things like UFOs and strange phenomena, and I think there's a lot of fun stuff to get into there.
I agree, Michael. We decided that, with all the things going on in the world, we'd do something lighthearted like UFOs.
Yeah.
You know, I kid you not, the world is a very interesting place right now. And it just makes sense that we do our part in... You know, some nights we address some really serious issues, and then other nights we, you know, talk about whatever comes to mind and, you know, things that are more maybe existential or, you know, some of the experiences we've had and just get our mind off of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. You know, I'm going to start this out with, I know a couple of weeks ago, Fran moved to Wyoming, and nice to see you here tonight, Fran, and had mentioned that lights in the sky and certain things that she had seen since she moved out there. Well, I noted on our community forum, and I'm up here in British Columbia, and there were some people talking about, did you see the lights in the sky last night? It was crazy, you know, never seen that before, and anyhow, there was a really interesting discussion going on there from, there are a lot of drones now. A friend of mine, you know, has drones out and sometimes goes out in the evening. It could have been that. Other people are saying, look, we've had lights in the sky here for decades, long before drones. So it was interesting that, you know, there were some other takes on it besides everybody automatically agreeing that we're being attacked by aliens, you know?
Are you trying to say we're not being attacked by aliens?
No, we're not being attacked by aliens. Trust me, I think if that were going to happen, it would happen.
Listen, I have seen enough movies. I know what's real. We're being attacked by aliens.
Well, yeah, I've seen those movies. You know, and I wonder about that. Does Hollywood have, and there's those conspiracy theories or, you know, conjecture, that, you know, some things in the movies are in a way to help prepare us for contact, you know, to the masses, that is. So, you know, I think that's entirely possible, except that, of course, they like to show all the horrific things, and I like Star Trek myself,
yeah,
all
the
different
best.
Kinds of aliens. But so, I mean, but seriously, I've had my share of, you know, lights in the sky and other types of, you know, experiences. And it started when I was very young. I remember, it had to be 1973, I think. Was when it was the most profound of this light following me across the schoolyard. I was coming home from work, and it couldn't have been more than a half a mile up. I swear it got so big, and then pulsated in front of me. Of course, I'm terrified, but it got bigger and smaller, and then poofed. I kid you not, up, over, gone. And then two nights later, the same thing. And I've since talked to people as recently as like 4 or 5 years ago who recall those years in that area where we were all living. And they say, you know, back in those days, I saw a lot of them too. So there seemed to be during that time, you know, a more congestion of sightings than perhaps more, you know, in years since. But not too far from where I was the first... You know, I've said this on previous shows, I know, but I'll say it again. In 1967, the first recorded crop circles in Canada was not far from that area, perhaps an hour, I think, south.
When was this?
Of where? In Canada, in northern Alberta. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, when is what I asked.
Oh, when? That was in 1967. These sightings were in... That was a great number of sightings of people I know was in the early 70s. But there was an old fellow I remember. It was a little hamlet called Duhamel, Alberta. So anybody wants to look that up, it is in Wikipedia, Duhamel. So I talked to an old-timer who was almost 90 who recalled that crop circle sighting and how he had been there, the neighbor's cows, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, high security and some military were there. And then it just all went away. But he saw all kinds of ships. He saw the long cigar-shaped ones, him and a few other farmers. But nobody liked to talk about it much. He remembered that there was these little drone-type things that, well, the size of a car, let's say, and they freaked out his wife and kids. They ran home because they were zipping around over the geography, you know, in their fields. And so who knows, you know, but this again, we're talking long before technology really took fold. I got to remember some of these folks out in the country didn't even have a TV until later.
Yeah.
I think I was not eight when we got a TV in the early 60s. So, you know, a lot of things were not, our minds were not contaminated so much by, you know, possibilities. I do recall later when TV was popular, the Outer Limits freaked me out. Of course, the bad stuff, Twilight Zone. Some might say we're living in the Twilight Zone now, but
we're living in something. I don't know what.
We are. So I mean, there's a lot of this. So people who are really avid UFO hunters do work and do their very best to try to weed things out, like to make it more credible, the credible sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And have sensibility about it. MUFON is really good about that. For those who don't know, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network .com, has always tracking it and has investigators and and people who keep up on that. And it's a really good site. Every now and again, I go and I check. And you can look in the area to see what's more recent. And then whatever sightings have been, it has the year and the stories and so on. It's really cool to watch. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think I know what you're talking about, too, but I was going to say it's an interesting history. You know, you could argue that there have been, in different cultures, different UFO sightings in the literal sense of something that was flying and unidentified and they had no idea what it was. But there are reports from, you know, pre-20th century, you know, here and there that you can see, but it really got going in the 20th century in World War II and after. And it's, you know, it's interesting to think about the World War II era Foo Fighters, if you're familiar. Mm. Also an excellent band, but they were these UFOs that would be buzzing around, bombers and things like that, in the Pacific theater especially, but also in Europe. And just these unidentified things, especially around the atomic bomb droppings. There was reportedly many, many of them that were seen, which is an interesting thought. You know, did this start happening because of the atomic age in greater numbers, which is, I think, something that's been posited before. But, and moving on into the post-war era, there was, and I'm going to go back to this, there was a pilot named Kenneth Arnold reported seeing nine objects resembling boomerangs in the sky. He described their movement as, quote, like a saucer if you skip it across the water, end quote, which the reporter misunderstood as saying the object themselves resembled flying saucers, which is kind of where we get that. And it's kind of exploded from there. Not too long after that, you have, of course, the Roswell, New Mexico issue. And it's just, it's a fascinating history.
Well, Dr. Stephen just wrote that there is a non-terrestrial buried in Texas after a crash in the 1800s. Interesting. I didn't know about that one. I'll check that out. If I may, just shift over here to Fran's testimonial, you know, moving to Wyoming. First of all, I want to say she first saw something in 1976 in Virginia. And it wasn't her first time, but she writes, my bedroom window faces the mountains, flat tops. I look out my window all the time. It was about 8 months ago, starry night, admiring nature. And there was a star that started getting closer and closer and closer. And as it got closer, the color changed from white to blue. It stayed there a moment. Now, how can I say this? It was gone. Stage left. I stared for a moment, then I pulled down my blinds. It's a great story. And, of course, Dr. Darlene, she's saying, wow, Fran, I don't blame you for pulling down the blinds. It is intimidating the first time, you know, because you start kind of vibrating a little bit and say, whoa, because it's out of your purview. It's out of your, you know, your brain frame for, oh, what is this? And fight or flight kind of kicks in right away. But that's a great recent story, Fran, to have seen something. And again, you don't really have a mental file for it, and it does kind of freak you out for a moment. But then she added too that her sister is a member of MUFON. So you see, there's a lot of people who are in, you know, feel that curiosity and would like to know more of the history, and are really, although when we see things we're a little bit afraid, we really do want the truth of what's what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going right back to Hitler claiming to have had a ship and tried to build anti-gravity, apparently, and failed. But he was replicating a ship. And then he started some Antarctic big thing going down. And there's still a lot of investigation about it, like how far back does this go? But we can go back in history to the Egyptians. We can go back to Peru, you know, Mayan, Aztec, forever. Yeah, it goes back. There's all kinds of, even biblically, there's indication of, you know, flying things and ships from the sky. And so historically, it ought not to be you know, a surprise to think of activity now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the thing that what happens though is the fear mongers kind of give it all a bad rap, right? So
yeah,
it's like,
all those. Well, it's all the horrible abduction stories with the uncomfortable probing.
Yeah,
that gets you. But it, you know, it's interesting. You're exactly right. There are a lot of different, you know, theologies and passed down by spoken word histories that do reference these things in the sky. And, you know, of course, you know, my mind goes to when you don't know, you really don't know. So were these, you know, stories derived from some kind of natural phenomena in the sky? But, you know, well, let's extrapolate that to even modern sightings. When we don't have a level of perspective to truly understand what we're seeing, for all we know, it could be an interdimensional being that's just zapping an image of something into your mind just to mess with you, because that's how he gets his, you know, laughs. And he just skips through, you know, maybe that's the same thing for ghosts. He, you know, something, you know, beams an image of a ghost into your mind. Because when you don't know, you truly don't know. You have no frame of reference or context to understand something in.
Yeah.
But it's, but there is a lot of interesting, you know, evidence, you know, some anecdotal, but a lot of hard evidence, like the recently declassified Pentagon videos showing. Yeah, showing footage from, let's see, these are from 2017 and 2018 when they emerged. But the video, one video was from 2004, another was shot in 2015, both captured by Navy F/A-18 Super Hornet jets with forward-looking infrared technology. And these are the famous videos that were released a couple of years ago, you know, showing these, you know, fast-moving objects that were completely unlike an aircraft. You can see it if you watch the video. They're readily available. And it's an interesting thing because it came out a couple of years ago, and people would joke that things are so crazy right now that the government basically admitted that UFOs are real and nobody's paying attention to it.
I know. Hence the Space Force.
Yeah.
I know. That's I don't know. I think that there's been all kinds of indication and people aren't paying attention. So, you know, Audra mentioned in the chat here, I'm trying to keep up with some of the conversation, that there is New Fork, and I have not heard of those. I'm going to look that up, Audra. N-U-F-O-R-C is a UFO resource, and which is one of the reasons that she's pursuing a paranormal anthropology, a paranormal degree at IMHS. And Jamil is also saying that he's planning to do paraanthropology when he's finished his first degree. So Dr. Stephen is saying Mexico City has UFOs quite regularly. That's a hot spot. I've really heard about that. I've not been to Mexico myself, so...
I recall, isn't Phoenix, Arizona, known to have...
It sure is.
...some regular sightings?
My favorite place. My one daughter and her husband live in Sedona, my favorite place. I couldn't go this past year, which distresses me. So, you know what I do? I go down on Google Maps and I take my, you know, the little guy, and you go down on the road, and I just kind of do a walkabout through the, all the mountains and the hills and the vortexes, and it's fun because I sure miss that. It's a real hot spot, and of course the movie a few years ago, The Phoenix. What was it, Michael? The Phoenix. Okay, somebody with a huge big ship, and you know,
I remember the triangle configuration. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so there's lots of that's a real big hot spot. And of course, we all know about Nevada. You know.
Yeah.
I think that to be clear, there when people say that the government has investigative teams and. You know, that there's a conspiracy kind of thing. Well, I don't know what the government has, but I think it makes sense to me that Phoenix Lights, thank you, Audra, you're awesome. Of course they would keep that under wraps. Of course they would. You know, it seems to me that you got to remember that you got a primarily white Christian population, that how much could they cope with, and politically, economically, how do you explain, by the way, we're not alone on the planet, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so, I mean, I understand it on one hand. The other is, I think we're not giving people enough credit for being able to make that kind of transition to understanding that we're not alone in the universe. So, that's right, Dr. Stephen says, upon revelation to the masses, who needs government? Hmm. Well, there you go.
Well, so. You know, it's also indicative of the, you know, public investigations. Senator Harry Reid from Nevada, he had a lot of push into getting some investigations going. But it's our culture is changing. You know, you mentioned the large Christian bloc, and, you know, any culture of believers in faith, it's going to be difficult to accept a universe full of planets, full of other people, except for Mormons. They already believe that, oddly enough. They believe that each planet got their own Messiah. Yeah. Little behind the curtain on that one, but...
Maybe.
But anyway, it's a world full of people that have deeply held beliefs in things that are not, you know, based in science or reason, and to them it would be a shock. But that being said, that mentality and that way of thinking is falling by the wayside. We have, through a lot of pop culture, through a lot of literature, you know, we have a lot of stories about alien life, about, we mentioned Star Trek, you know, one of the greatest series of all time. And it deals with other forms of life. It's because our awareness of what is possible is growing in fiction. Mm-hmm. It is. I look at fiction as really an evolutionary tool for the human race to conceptualize things that you might not be able to find in your own personal perspective or experience. So a lot of people will say that there's a conspiracy that the government knows about aliens, and that they're introducing all of these concepts to pop culture to make us ready for it. I say, well, maybe. I can't. That's, you know, unverifiable and unprovable, because what you don't know, you don't know. But that being said, I look at fiction throughout human history, and it's always prepared us for what's coming next. If you look at each, ever since you've had the written word, or even oral traditions, before the written language, you would have stories that would prepare you for the life that you're going to live, and that would also prepare you for what's coming down the pipeline in terms of social development, in terms of technological development. Science fiction is a wonderful look at that. And we're not the same people that we were 100 years ago or 50 years ago. And I think that the people in this world today are much more ready to accept that we are not alone in the universe. It's a statistical impossibility. So what we know is that it's virtually impossible for us to be alone. And the only debate is, have some of the other sentient life forms out there visited us yet? That's the debate. Not whether they exist or not, but whether they visited us is the only possible debate that you can have at this point.
Well, I completely concur with that. I think we are advancing and mature enough to, you know, resolve certain kinds of people who like to have power over the earth. And open up to the possibility that we all need to get our, you know, stuff together here and be a more unified planet. And, you know, it's like, get on with evolution in a way. Well, I think we're ready for that. I completely agree with that, Michael. And I don't think it should be a question of whether or not they visited here. And as Dr. Stephen says too in the chat, you know, from wall paintings and old caves, you know, mm-hmm. to wherever we are, I think that, you know, we know that something has been here before us. And more importantly, how did we get here? You know,
right. Then let me refine that to say that even the most, you know, skeptical of mainstream science, the debate is now not whether extraterrestrial life exists, but whether it's visited us, because it's a foregone conclusion at this point that life must exist out in the universe. But anyway. I agree. Anyway.
Yes. Dr. Wong, Dr. Edward Wong, is saying the Catholic Church has already made statements that the existence of other extraterrestrial civilizations did not contradict their faith. Well, of course they have to say that. I mean, where do you think they got their robes and tall hats from? You know, witches and other people and all the other, you know, I mean, nothing is original in the Catholic Church, people. Hello? Right from lighting candles to, you know, eating wafers. It's not new.
Right. I mean, with hundreds of thousands of years of human history and culture, there's nothing new under the sun. But
I know.
And that comes to, you know, potential alien visitations as well. It's not new. It's just understood in a different way. Maybe what was once called a god is now called an extraterrestrial because our understanding changed. And Dr. Stephen threw in Ezekiel. I'm pretty sure that's a reference to the
Bible,
book of
yeah
the Bible. It was a famous story with wheels spinning within wheels. It's been told on various things. I don't have the information in front of me, but it would be an interesting thing to look up if you're interested. And I think Fran had also made mention of I'm trying to think if it's another UFO story. I'm just skipping through chat to see, because a lot of people are chiming in, so I'm looking to see if there are any.
Sharing stories, too. It's awesome.
It is.
Yep.
So let me just read this real quick. In the summer of 76, it was on a first date. They went down to the river for a smoke before going to the club, so they were top-down, having a great laugh. Then from the right came a row of lights, and it came our way. It was huge and silent, and it hung right in front of us. The lights were blinding. It was there for what seemed like forever. Then it slowly rose up and just jetted off. So, needless to say, there was no club for that that night. That's kind of a club experience in and of itself. But, you know, I wish I could have that kind of experience, because I've never seen a UFO, and I would love to. It would be interesting.
Well, I always feel there's a different vibration from, an extraterrestrial energy to a spiritual energy, and when they're in space, and I have over the years become sensitive to that, and I kind of feel when the ships are around. It's just a vibration. And this is another reason that, I've seen them around here and living in Canada, but another reason that I liked going to Sedona and Phoenix areas, I can feel that energy. And Sedona is one of those, what they call a lights-off community. It's a no-light community where at night they don't have street lights. They try to make it all natural. So when the night falls, which happens really fast, I might add, like you feel like it's 10 minutes and you went from light to dark, and there's this hum. It's like the sound changes, and it's fascinating. The first few nights and my first visit there, it did really catch me off guard, and I don't get creeped out very easily, but whoa, did I feel. And maybe it's just, you know, there's some logical explanation for it, but I could feel that it's like something else shifts and changes. And there's a different energy is what I was trying to Dr. Stevens saying ringing of the ears from daytime noises. It could be. There's no question. There could be some perfectly logical explanation, psychological, but through the night, getting up in the night and, you know, and just sitting out there in the dark, 11, 12 o'clock at night, it's so, every star is, you know, popping in the sky. It's extraordinary. So anything, you can tell the difference between easily what's a helicopter, a plane, something else, because the clarity is just crazy. And I don't know, I think that we are, to fast forward here a little bit, we are in a time where we're having more dialogue. We are more open-minded. And we are, you know, okay, you look in the sky and you say, oh, is that an alien? Is that a UFO? What is that? As opposed to, oh, no, run for the hills. So we're starting to have that brain file, I think, a little bit more, because as the years have gone on and, you know, we're able, it's out in the media more. And again, mm-hmm. you know, politically, they are letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And we're ready. I think we're ready.
We are. I mean, yeah. it's a different time. You know, it's been said that it could be dangerous for us, just like an advanced people landed on the shores of the New World, and it was horrible for the indigenous peoples.
Yeah.
But, let's also, and I know we're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to crunch a few things into a short amount of time. A popular theory being put forward is that if you're advanced enough to get to the point of space travel, then you will have gotten through, you know, a potential atomic apocalypse and killing each other, and you will have socially evolved to the point where you're going to be a more peaceful people. And there's a logic to that. Now, of course, I'm of the sort that, you know, when you don't know, you don't know. So there could be a hive mind species out there that, you know, a la Borg, that is all encompassing. Star Trek has taught me much. But in another interesting concept, of course, has been put out there, and this is nothing new, that it could be time travelers. What we can perceive as UFOs or aliens could be highly technologically advanced time travelers, you know, assuming human, which is an interesting concept. And the last thing I'm going to throw in is, this is going to, just because I always find, you know, the concept of reincarnation a little fascinating, and we're going to branch out into another field of, if there are many planets with many different sentient life forms, is reincarnation isolated to one planet? Are we bound to the energy of this planet, or is there a cosmic energy that we bounce around from?
You know, all of these questions are, you know, legitimate questions. And we have to keep an open mind to all possibilities. We really do. Wendy just said time travel, favorite, you know, and I agree. Of course, we could chat about this and go all over the place for hours and hours, like usual, Michael, and we're getting to that time. Time goes by so quickly on this program. It's amazing. Thanks to everybody who's participated, because it's great. It seems that everybody's had some kind, or most people have had some kind of experience, and you know, I think there's more of us than we know. So, there we go.
Absolutely.
So, I'm trying to write down names. We are going to start drawing some cards here pretty quick. The Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards. Michael's going to draw one for those listening in the archives who are unfamiliar with what we do on the program. And I'm going to pull a tarot as a support card. And we'll see what kinds of messages that get us thinking tonight. So, shall we begin? Now, I'm not sure if Dr. Stephen, I put in there anyone like a card tonight, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if that meant yes for a card or yes for something you were saying.
I know, I was just thinking the same thing. So well, we're going to pull
one for Stephen, shall we?
Yeah, it'll be a... And if it wasn't requested, then it'll just be for the universe. But we have wild card number 2, great start, and then some.
And then some.
Ah, Dr. Stephen does want a card, so it works out. All right, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make it a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
And in support of that, Stephen, I got the King of Swords, King of Spades, and it's that's somebody, you know, being innovative, taking charge, And using power in a, you know, the thing about the King of Spades is to use power in a good way, and you know how to do that, but it's being your own authority, and you are that. So, and this is just a little message of maybe going a little more and then some. So, and maybe in what you're doing, you know, in some of the efforts that you're making at this time is, you know, give it a little more and it'll take another ride. And actually, you know, even as I say that, if there has been a hesitation to anything going on in your life, or it doesn't seem to be, you know, flowing like you'd want to, it just says be a little bit more assertive and creative and it'll move. So, awesome.
All right. Very nice. And so, I believe we have Dr. Darlene up next.
We do so. What have you got?
I have number 42, trust and integrity.
Good one.
Trust, integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Whoa, Darlene, I got the Chariot in support of that. So it's like, you know, moving forward, but you're the one who's in the driver's seat. And what I appreciate the most about the Chariot is that there's a really good balance of negative and positive, and you're able to have an insight and stay centered and not let either take over. So trusting yourself, using your integrity in whatever situation is at hand, and being able to move forward with it. So it's not like moving under or over, you know, or trying to step around. You're moving forward, just being yourself. So I think that's a really good message and reminder, a little bit of affirmation there for you that be you, you know who you are, and just keep going because you got this.
Very nice. All right.
Audra is next.
Audra, I have number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Well, Audra, you know, the misleading thing about the titles as the lovers, it's people don't really take it literally when actually it's metaphoric for passion. And I think what this is saying to you, as I'm hearing what Michael has to say about gains and looking about where your passion is sometimes we need to do some checks and balances about money isn't everything, and staying true to yourself and where your passion is often the way to go. And it doesn't mean you're necessarily taking a loss. It may mean that things stay a little bit the same to stay on track. So this is just, I feel like there could be a carrot kind of, you know, being hung out in front of your nose, and you got to really look at whether or not that's worth it and stay with your passion and stay on track with your life. Now, it could go the flip side about saying, wow, this is your passion, go for it. But Gaines is saying checks and balances. So a little bit of hesitation to think that the carrot might be great is what I'm saying. So I hope that makes sense in some way. All right, we have Wendy next, I think.
Yep. And Wendy, I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. doing right means to take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Wendy, I got the Ten of Hearts, the Ten of Cups in support of that. And boy, this could be a really big picture or very, very specific to where you are in the moment. And I'm going to try to tackle both for a quick second. Do no harm, do right. And with respect to family, it could very well be that, you know, to do right, you might not be favorable for a moment. Like, somebody might not like you for a minute. To do the right thing. But I think also it is here about kind of keeping the rules, you know, balanced overall, but being, you know, when you have to tailor to very specific personalities and needs. So I'm thinking here that boundaries might have something to do with, you know, how this is playing into the family. And again, I'm not meaning to trespass in any way. I'm not saying there's anything big and wrong. It's just when you're, you know, guiding a family through all these ebbs and tides of life, it's, you know, how do you make sure that, you know, you're doing no harm, but you're also doing the right thing and not trespassing, you know, giving unsolicited advice, and you know the rules. So at the same time, being able to be protective and keep things in check. So hope that makes sense. It's just a little nudge. I call that a cosmic nudge. And, you know, just keeping things in balance.
Very nice. All right. And I believe we have Fran next.
We do, I believe, yeah.
And, oh, this is a good one. This is very spacey. Spirit, cosmos, divine energy, number 12.
Ooh, nice.
Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
I got the Magician in support of that, friend. Metamorphosis, shifting, alchemy. If you are feeling a little bit confined for a moment, feeling like you're not able to know kind of what to do at the moment, I think that's just because there's a shift. And it's a birthing process, adapting, growing, and sometimes it takes a minute for the software to be able to reconfigure in the hard drive kind of thing, if you want to see it that way. And but it would say here that there is a shift afoot. I really feel this lift in my heart when I'm looking at this, and it's exciting, but it's a little, you might feel a little bit unnerved. It's all fresh or new, but you're going to get to know yourself in a whole new way. And that's what's most exciting about it. So if you're feeling a little uncertain right now, I want to say take a breath, take a bath, you know, have a glass of wine and just roll with it, because the energy is shifting and it's all connecting with you, and it's going to start to make sense. And, you know, it's popped in my head, even in the next 4 or 5 days, things are going to start to make a little more sense to you. So I hope that resonates. And thanks for the feedback, everyone, through the chat as we've been going through some of these cards. Really do appreciate it. And, you know, it's because, like, from this side, we don't really know what we're doing until we get that feedback. So we're just trusting. And that's the thing about intuition, everyone, is you got to trust. And, Fran says appropriate. Thanks, Fran. We have to trust our intuition. Intuition is when we have really no logic to base it on, except that feeling of, is this the idea, or is this the symbol, or is that the sense of things? And That's what a lot of us are doing right now, is going by our intuition, going by our radar, and, you know, guiding our way through, you know, an otherwise crazy world. But, you know, we're getting there. We'll get there. And one day, one step at a time, and it's all temporary. I had my grandkids here again this weekend, and they've been learning to adapt to wearing masks and going back to school. And you know, we made salsa. We did a whole bunch of stuff. And I said, hey, you guys, it's all temporary, because now that they're going back into school, we're into distancing again. Certainly it'll be the no hugging thing. And you know, that's just the way it is. We can, you know, visit maybe in the backyard, but no hugging allowed. And we've been there before, and I said, it's all temporary, you guys. It's all temporary. We'll get through this, and we'll look back on it one day in our lives. And, you know, the thing is to be as considerate to yourself and others, and as careful to with yourself and others as possible. And,
absolutely.
You know, we get through this.
We will. We will.
Indeed.
And we just take precautions, you know, and something comes to mind that was borrowing from a meme, but I'll interject this real quick since we've had a space theme. Somebody pointed out that, you know why on Star Trek all the doors open automatically and nobody really shakes hands anymore? COVID. Oh. COVID-19. That's why.
That's funny.
But, all right. But back to cards. I think we have Dr. Edward next, and I think he is our last card over the evening.
Okay, Edward.
All right. I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
I love it.
All right. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, the indomitable power of the human spirit. And I got the Seven of Clubs in support of that, Edward. And sometimes that's kind of I see it as one of the self-protection cards, self-preservation cards is what I see it as. And in context of, you know, the indomitable power of the human spirit, is sometimes we do have to buffer ourselves from the world a little bit. And you might feel a little bit now that you are protecting yourself, that you are creating that little bubble, and not just from COVID perhaps, but from other people's energy. And that's not a bad thing. I think that's a really good thing at times. So it's keeping your energy in reserves and keeping your energy strong and not allowing any kind of negativity to, you know, kind of filter in. And I did build up or pull a card in support of that, because I wanted to say, what's the next point of that? And I had the Ten of Pentacles, which is marketplace and the world, interacting with the world and how you want to do that. And I feel like there's something creative brewing in your back mind and something that is inventive and creative. So, you know, if you feel like you're in retreat a little bit, not a bad thing, because the juices are flowing. So that gets me excited for you. So you got this also. Again, I hope that makes sense. So
very good.
Is that everyone, Michael? Did we cover it? Are we good?
I think so. It's been a rambunctious chat. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I've been looking through, and I think we got everybody. And
awesome.
Just a little shout out to Dr. Angie. We've been talking about you in the chat and missing you here. So if you're listening to the archives, just know that you're still here with us in spirit, and we hope that you can join us in the live chat again sometime soon. But, no, it's been a great night. We've had a lot of great stories coming from the chat about different encounters. Thank you, Fran, for sharing. And it's been a fun topic.
It has. It has. You know, lots of people have also mentioned the crazy weather out there. Stay safe.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's snow already and rain and fires and wind. this, like I say, people, it's kind of a crazy world on more levels than we realize. And we'll get through this. Just stay safe. Take care of yourself. Heads up. And come back next week.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there so you can come back next week.
That's right.
And, you know, we're thinking of you, especially, you know, in the West Coast where the fires are raging. I heard in, you know, Colorado even there are some forest fires raging. So our thoughts are with you and sending you good energy. So
yes,
look forward to you joining us next week. To those listening to the archives, if you can, join us in the live chat. It's always a great discussion. We love the feedback. We love the interaction. And we look forward to having you. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.